Hello and welcome to The Laydown. My name is Ryan and I've got an awesome interview to share with you today. But first, a couple of quick housekeeping notes. As some of you may already know, my incredible co-host Joe is having back surgery and will be in recovery for several weeks. Please send them lots of good healing vibes. If you want to send them specific well wishes, you can absolutely email me at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com and I will pass along your messages to Joe. We won't be recording a regular episode of the podcast this month, but you will get a couple of bonus interview episodes from me, and then probably an episode in early April of just Joe and I catching up on our February and March reads. Then we'll be back to our regular shenanigans with our full April episode at the end of April. Speaking of April, Indie Bookstore Day is coming up. It's the last Saturday in April, and we hope you'll join us in store. I currently have no idea what any of our plans are for that day, but do please come say hi if you're local. There will probably be some ARC giveaways, maybe some raffles. There will definitely be some Indie Bookstore Day merch. We might have some other fun activities throughout the day. I don't know. You'll just have to come to the store to find out. Okay, now on to the interview. Rebecca Mackay joined me on the podcast to chat about her brand new novel, I Have Some Questions For You. This book is fantastic, and Rebecca Mackay is incredible. I loved chatting with her. She's an award-winning author. You may have read her previous novel, The Great Believers. This one is a murder mystery set at a boarding school in New Hampshire. It involves a true crime podcast and the Me Too movement and just so much more. I absolutely devoured it. I actually listened to the audiobook from Libre FM, which is read by Julia Whalen, who we love. The book is great. The interview was a blast, and I have taken up enough time in this intro, so let's just get into it. Hi, Rebecca Mackay. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing so well. I am obsessed with your new book. Oh, my God.
Thank you.
I was in Providence at the NEBA conference when you presented it last fall. And yes. I was like, yes, this. And
oh, good.
Oh, it's so compelling. And I couldn't put it down. It's absolutely incredible. For the folks who haven't had the chance to read it yet, we sold out this week at Gibson's.
Oh, so thank you, Gibson's.
So I know there's a bunch of new readers out there. So could you tell us a little bit about I Have Some Questions For You?
I can. So it is a literary feminist boarding school murder mystery, which is fun to say. It's a little tongue-in-cheek, but that is what it is. Basically, we have a 40-year-old woman who's a film historian, and she returns to the Granby School, which is the fictional boarding school that she attended in New Hampshire. And she is there just to teach a two-week class. And while she's there, of course, her mind is very much back in the mid-90s when she graduated. And she's thinking a lot about the death of her junior year roommate who died their senior year. There is someone in prison for the murder of this young woman, a Black man who was the school's athletic trainer. And while she's there, she starts to realize that some of the many people online who are insisting that the wrong guy is in prison are perhaps correct. And the book goes from there.
Yes. And oh, it is, oh, like right from the jump, it pulls you in so quickly. The structure is really cool. I like that there are parts where she's talking to this unnamed you, who she, you know, suspects may have done it. I love that it jumps around in time a little bit. It's a really compelling structure. And I, of course, I love that it takes place in New Hampshire. Like that was just because I'm in New Hampshire. And
well,
like,
yeah.
Conquered.
Yeah. The New Hampshire, I'll say a couple of reasons I said it in New Hampshire beyond just there's a lot of boarding schools in New Hampshire. One is, I live in Vermont in the summer. I know that part of the world really, really well. Of course, Vermont is very different from New Hampshire. Vermont, I've gotten people who are like, well, you live in Vermont. Why didn't you just set it in Vermont? And like, listen, the only boarding schools in Vermont are like six kids milking goats on the top of a mountain and doing therapy. Like, and it's great, but that's a Vermont that's boarding true. School. Mm-hmm. I don't like, this is a New Hampshire boarding school. There's that. And there's the fact that, so I do actually here outside Chicago live on campus of the boarding school where my husband teaches. Mm. And so I know this world really well, but I wanted very much for it not to be this school. Mm-hmm. And so that meant setting it somewhere else. So I went with that. But yeah, I mean, yeah, the structure that you mentioned, there's that second person. I'll say this because it's, I think basically right there, she's talking to a music teacher from the school. It's the person that she's just kind of finds herself thinking everything at. At first, maybe we're out of nostalgia, and then increasingly because she realizes that something was off about this guy and that maybe he had something to do with what went wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And kind of jumping off the structure as well, I love that it really revolves around this true crime podcast that she's doing with her students in a way. And I found that really interesting. And true crime podcasts are such a thing right now. And I love that this novel really like uses that to its advantage.
Yeah. It's something, you know, true crime is nothing new. Right. First of all, crime is nothing new, but our obsession with, you know, the lurid details of crime, that's nothing new. You look at like the way that murder trials were covered in the 1920s. Oh my gosh, it was the most lurid, irresponsible coverage you can imagine. The podcast, you know, it's something I think part maybe because Serial was the first really big hit of a podcast. It's the reason we've all found the podcast icon on our phones. That sort of inseminated, that's a terrible word to use, the genre with a lot of true crime podcasts. But I do think it's a medium that's well suited for it because it's these, you know, very intimate, I'm going to tell you a story kind of things. There are ones in the real world that do a lot of good that have actually done Innocence Project work or that have identified Jane Doe's or whatever it is, right? And then there are a lot that, why are we telling this story again? Mm-hmm. This is not doing anything. You know, this person has living relatives. Why are we just, you know, there's nothing to solve here. There's nothing to learn here. We're just using it as entertainment. Mm-hmm. And there are times when I listen to those and really enjoy them though. I'm just saying that like, I need to interrogate that. We all do. And so it made sense. I mean, I'm writing, although this is like a murder mystery, it's also a realist novel. And I did not, you know, a realist novel, if we're really talking about the kind of case that has captured the public attention, which is what this project is, we're going to talk about Reddit and Twitter and podcasts and internet sleuths, as well as like get into like the realism of the legal system and things like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, because it also tackles these two really huge issues of, on the one hand, there's you know, the Me Too movement and kind of viewing the things that happened in the 90s through a modern lens. It feels so weird to say modern, and I was raised in the 90s, so I'm like, no, it wasn't that long ago. But it was. So there's that piece of it, and looking at kind of abuse and assault and imbalances of power and things like that. And then on the other side of it, we're also dealing with, you know, the wrongful incarceration of people, and in particular, Black men. It really is this very rich novel. And I think both topics are handled in a really great, sensitive way in this novel. Oh, I thought it was done really well.
Thank you. Yeah, those big themes that we get at, like, injustice and all that stuff, really come out of that realist approach, where I don't want to, give you the Perry Mason version of the legal system. I don't, let's actually look at this. Research was really essential for that, because if you guess how things happen, you're going to guess wrong. Uh-huh. If you think, I found a wonderful public defender from New Hampshire who was able to answer all of my questions and read stuff and tell me all kinds of things about, the way things might possibly get to a retrial, which like never happens.
Right.
And about, the New Hampshire State Prison for Men, all those things that I needed to get right in order to, you could be the most empathetic person in the world, but if you haven't done the work to learn what things are really like, empathy is only going to get you so far.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really interesting reading this, and I'm so susceptible through the whole thing. I'm like, oh no, this person did it. Oh, maybe that person did it. Maybe this person did it. And I found that so interesting, because that is, it's completely like the way it happens with media, being like, nah, it was definitely this guy. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, oh, but if I peel back the layers, like, that doesn't make sense. Like, it was really, it was really interesting to read through it and be like, oh, I was totally swayed by, these Reddit users or what have you.
It is a traditional murder mystery in the sense that we have a dead body at the beginning, or, there's been a murder, and by the end, we do know who did it and we know why. Mm-hmm. And there are people along the way, like, I have enough characters that you might have suspicions about. There are people that the world has suspicions about. And then my character does this thing of kind of really trying to imagine, okay, what would it look like if Omar, the guy who's in prison, what would it look like if he did that? Like, can I imagine this scenario? But also, what would it look like if this girl who's been mentioned sometimes online, and I don't think she had anything to do with it, but how would that be possible? Mm-hmm. What would it look like if she did? And it's really like doing that thing of walking us through, we're picturing the crime many, many different times, not in a gory way, but what are the possibilities? So we go there. But by the end, you do know.
You do. You do. And I also love the pieces where she'll be like, so you remember that one where that girl went missing? No, not that one. And it just really was like, wow, we are so saturated with these true crime stories. But often it's the young, pretty blonde girl. Right. And and there are so many that don't get covered. And yeah, I thought that was a really nice, like, through line throughout the book as well. Yeah. This book is incredible. I could talk to you about it all day. I know you have a huge day of press ahead of you, so I won't keep you. But I just, as I said, we sold out in the first week. We've got a ton more coming in and a ton more orders. So, congratulations.
Well, thank you. And I love that bookstore. I've read there. I think I read there for my first two or three books.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, we've read a couple times at least. Yeah.
Yeah. But, the indies have been like, I think you know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. And I'm not just like butter in your bread. But the indies are the ones that really sell, first of all, sell literary fiction. They can actually... That's where those customers go. Mm-hmm. And then also can explain a book to somebody and be like, okay, this one's a little unusual, but here's what's going on, versus this is going to sell itself because it's the new Stephen King, which you guys Sure,
and there's a place for that. But
Right. But that's going to sell itself online. Mm-hmm. But books that are a little different, they need someone actually, you know, explaining them or writing the little shelf talker or knowing the customer where it's like, mm-hmm. wait a second. If you like that, you're going to like this. So, all to say, oh my God, thank you.
You are so welcome. Rebecca, I will let you go, but thank you so, so much for chatting with me today. And again, congrats.
Yay. Yeah. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Huge thanks again to Rebecca Mackay for joining me on the podcast. I Have Some Questions For You is available now from Gibson's Bookstore. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Make sure you're following us on your favorite social media platforms. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and all of those links will be in the show notes. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the bookstore. Bye.